District 32, Business Radio. Insights and inspiration. District 32, by today's business leaders.
Welcome back to District 32 Radio. I'm Jackie Campbell and I'm joined today by Paul Roach. Now, he has a business called Delta Business and Executive Coaching. They specialise in business development, leadership development, and more importantly, coaching you to put cash in your business. Paul, welcome.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
Now, what is this cash in your business side of things? I mean, my P&L says I've got lots of money, so why is cash important?
You might be one of the lucky ones that does have lots of cash, Jackie, but a lot of businesses don't. And in fact, if you look at the numbers, 95% of businesses or small businesses fail. And the number one reason why they fail is because they haven't got cash.
That's a terrifying statistic when you think about it, isn't it?
And it's a game of staying in the top 5%.
And it's such a shame because there's so much fantastic, great ideas out there. Is it really just a case of working out how to put the cash in your business?
Look, it's the number one rule of business. Don't run out of cash. So if you focus on the cash, you'll stay in business, you know, the vast majority of the time. If you look at the 95% that go under, so to speak, the ATO is the biggest organisation that puts the most businesses into receivership. And they do that because people can't pay their tax bill.
Right.
People can't pay their tax bill because they haven't got cash. And the tax bill pops up every quarter normally, and it accumulates over time if you don't pay it and the tax office charges interest and all the rest of it, then they come after you.
So most of us are talking about quarterly BAS reporting and our withholding, which goes obviously as part of that whole side of things. What is the key to actually being ready for that? Because it's not like it's a surprise. Every 3 months someone sends us a thingy and we fill it out and there's a number at the end of it.
Yeah, well, look, I probably have put the majority of those strategies together in my new book called Smarter Business, Stronger Cashflow.
Mm-hmm.
And the book is around knowing the areas to look for cash in your business. And there's 22 areas to look for cash in your business.
So not just my bank account?
Not just your bank account. If it's in your bank account, you've probably done the 22 correctly.
Right.
And you've got them in the bank account. That's the aim. But if they're not in your bank account and you're feeling pressure, feeling stressed to pay your bills, not able to pay your tax bill on time, or not being able to pay your creditors or your payroll or pay yourself, most importantly, then there could well be something fundamentally wrong in your business.
As small business owners, we do have a tendency to pay ourselves last, don't we?
And that's one of the biggest mistakes. We've got to pay ourselves first.
Pay yourself first?
Absolutely pay yourself first. If you don't pay yourself, what's the point of doing it?
Fair question. Okay. So of these 22 things, can you give us a bit of a snapshotty idea?
I think number one is, that affects all businesses, just because you do the work and send out an invoice doesn't mean to say you've been paid for it. So chasing debtors and getting the money in, or eliminating debtors, the working smarter bit, if you can eliminate debtors and have people pay automatically on time or in advance, fantastic. That tends to be the one where people, that's the quick fix for many businesses.
So chasing really the money that you're owed for the services
you've
provided.
Money that you're owed for the job you've done. Yep.
Why do you think it's so uncomfortable to have that conversation? A lot of people struggle with the ringing up, hi, you know, you owe me money. When really you've actually done what they ask you to do.
You've done the work. Mm. You've done the work. Unless there's a problem with the work, it's the reason why people aren't paying you. So your service level has to be good. Your work has to be good. But I think there's a trusting element that people believe people are going to pay on time. There's an automatic assumption, I've done the work, people are going to pay. Or the other side of the coin is believing that people are getting the work done, knowing they're not going to pay for 90, 120 days.
What if you've got a 7-day invoice? How can people not pay for 120 days?
Just ignore it.
Is that their cash flow issues in a lot of cases?
It could be their issues. And they go, well, I haven't been paid, so I'm not paying you.
I've got a friend of mine's got this fantastic sticker, which says, would you mind paying me so I can pay them so they can pay you?
Exactly right.
In small business particularly, it's a cycle, isn't it?
But that's not your problem. The fact that they haven't been paid is not your problem. And don't make it your problem.
Okay.
You've done the work, you need to be paid. Second one, if you're selling inventory, so you're selling stock, businesses go broke filling warehouses of stuff that they don't sell quickly. They fall over in a hole. Sits on the shelf. And look, fair to say different industries have different stock turn ratios, so how quickly they turn over their stock. And I think the faster you turn it, the shorter your cash-to-cash cycle is for what you've paid and what you get paid for it when you sell it. If you can get your cash-to-cash cycle positive, like some businesses do, We always aim to use someone else's money rather than our own, if we can, of course. But it's good to sell a stock before it hits your shelf and get paid for it before it hits. Like the big boys, Walmart and those in the US, they use other people's money for up to 60 days. They never have an overdraft. They don't have to worry about that. It's the way they go.
And your third big clinger?
Big one is really being prepared for the cash cycles. So we know our BAS is going to hit every 30 days or every month, whichever cycle you're on. Really tucking the money away every month for that, or every week. Putting it in a separate bank account so you know that the tax office isn't chasing you, your super payments are paid, your employee entitlements are all tucked away, so if somebody takes annual leave, you can afford to pay them as and when they take it. They seem to be the biggest stresses that business owners face.
And of course, they have a significant impact on your available cash and your cash cycle.
Absolutely. Okay. And just because you've got money in the bank doesn't mean to say that you've got it to spend.
I did learn the hard way once that just because I've got money in the bank doesn't mean it's actually available because it's pre-committed, for want of a better word.
Absolutely. And if it's pre-committed, then you can't touch it. You can't really touch it.
So is that the main thing with cash flow businesses? They've spent money that they actually need for something else, hoping for an invoice to come in, which then doesn't come in on time, and then they've effectively spent that same piece of cash twice.
Absolutely right. And there's a lot of businesses are paying for stock that they're not selling. They're doing the services and not getting paid. And it just keeps stretching out. So they slow their business down, and the slower it is, the harder it is to get cash from it. So we've just got to speed it up.
So Paul, within business, is it always the same sort of kind of thing? You've got that whole, you start, you stop, you do the work, you invoice it. Or is there more to the cycles in business which are predictable?
Look, I think it's the trap when your business is small that you get the work, you rush out and you do all the work, and then you've got to go and find the next lot of work. And you get caught in this pattern of busy, not busy, busy, not busy, trying to find the next bit of work. Mm. And really encourage people to market consistently so the work is coming in continually. And if you do get a bit overloaded, have a plan in place on how you can deal with it.
Is that a case of having subcontractors you can hire, business liaisons with other people, or what was your recommendation there?
Look, it's about what works best for your business to work smarter. There's a lot of businesses out there like doing their own accounting or invoicing and filing and all sorts of other stuff. Sometimes you've just got to handball that over so you've got time to do the real thing. And the faster you can get onto the real thing, the better chance you got.
And by the real thing you're talking about?
What you're passionate about.
So if I like building widgets, I should build widgets and not sit there and do my books at all hours of the night?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, the faster you can stop doing your books, the better off you're going to be. The better off your headspace is going to be, I think.
I'm sure my accountant would actually agree with you there. I occasionally get the thing which goes, were you doing this late at night? Which I'm not sure that speaks well to the quality of my bookkeeping, but I find it difficult to let go. What's the actual benefit, though, of me letting go of some of these things? Because no one can do my books like I can.
What, make a really big mess of it? Like,
yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah, moving on. Look, I think people have a belief that, oh, I'm spending money and I'm scared of spending money. Mm. But in reality, not spending the money can cost you a fortune. Some businesses, I go in, their invoicing isn't done for weeks or months.
Yeah.
They haven't got it out, so the customer can't pay it, and they're starving their bank account with cash. They haven't found the time to follow up because they got busy making the widgets, and there's a nice pile of widgets in the corner, but no one's done the accounts.
And unless, of course, you've done the marketing to go with that, you don't have a sales funnel for your widgets.
Absolutely.
But they're very beautiful widgets.
Oh, fantastic. I'm pleased for you.
So when we're talking about these cycles of business which go with that, it's a case of making sure that you're doing all of the critical tasks all of the time. Did I understand you correctly?
Money-generating activity.
So money-generating activities can be a range of things, or is there really some core things in there?
What you sell.
Okay.
What do you sell? That's the big question. What do you sell? What do you need to do to get money in the door to be able to grow your business or take the stress away from not being able to grow your business?
Okay.
Yeah.
So the more time I spend on stuff, the less time I have to actually do what I'm best at, which is generate interest in what I do, talk about what I do, market what I do, explain to the world why I'm the best person at what I do.
Yeah, look, and it's great to do your own marketing if you're in a position to be able to do that, and that's part of your business, fantastic. That's going to generate work for you. But there's a business owner I saw just before Christmas, and he literally was spending an hour a day cleaning the office. Because he liked to clean office. He literally mopped the floor, cleaned the bathrooms, and that's what he did. I'm going, mate, you've got a $6 million business and you've got a mop and bucket in your hand. What are you doing? And he's complaining he doesn't get home to see his wife and kids. There's something in the connection pattern there that just doesn't happen.
Well, does he own a cleaning business? That's got to be the first question.
No, he doesn't. Well, great question. No, he doesn't.
Okay,
no, he doesn't.
Well.
Yeah, and it's not just the obvious. It's if you actually break down your time and look at what you're doing, you can see the stupid stuff that we do as business owners because we think no one can do it better than us.
Okay. So how do you go about thinking, what do I do here? What's useful to me and what's not? Is that just a case of a good couple of glasses of red wine on a Saturday evening and taking a good hard look at yourself?
I'm not going to spoil a Saturday evening with that sort of stuff.
Well, you've obviously got your business sorted.
Oh, look, I think it's questioning everything we do and why we're doing it. And are we the best person to do it?
And is that a conversation best had with somebody else?
I think so.
I've actually had that conversation quite recently and questions were asked and I was justifying why I was still doing A, B and C, like my books. Why? Well, I actually had no real reason other than just because I used to be really tiny and I just didn't let go.
Yeah.
Do you find that with the clients that you're talking to?
And that is one of the reasons why businesses go bankrupt, because they won't let go. Or they can't let go. There's an emotional attachment to it that they can't let go. It's like the guy that cleans the office every night. He does it because when he started out, he did it. He couldn't afford to clean it. And he just hasn't let it go.
So your advice would be let go, look at ways of working smarter within your business, and then just get on with doing what your core purpose is.
Open up the funnel. Well, imagine as a funnel, you're pouring water in the top, and that's your time and your energy. Get a bigger funnel.
Get a bigger funnel. Great, great words of advice. Now, in my hot little hands here, I have this amazing blue, white and yellow book, which looks suspiciously useful.
Ah, let's hope so.
Well, tell us about that.
Look, this was a project of mine that I basically got sick of talking about the same thing.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. I got sick of talking to business owners about the fundamentals of understanding your financial statements, the gap between that and your bank account, and what we can do about it.
Aren't these fundamental things that all business owners like to think that we understand?
Well, there's an assumption that I think we go into business knowing that it's not that difficult. It's not that hard. It's really easy. I do a job, send out an invoice, I get paid for it, and the money's in the bank, and then I spend part of that, and then what's left over is mine.
And I give the rest to the ATO. Yes.
Pretty much, yes.
Okay, yep. Cool. So this doesn't work. Why?
Because there's all sorts of gaps. There's all sorts of timing issues. I might do the work, but I might forget to send out the invoice. I might send out the invoice and people forget to pay me.
Just forget to pay me?
They forget. They do. They've got.
Yeah, I'm
they've
sure
got
there's memory. No malice intended.
No,
yet.
Nothing intended at all. They're just waiting to be paid from someone else or waiting for money to hit their bank account, or maybe they just don't pay on. Maybe they pay on 60 days or 90 days. But then we get there and we look at our profit and loss and go, well, I worked really hard to generate the profit, but my bank account's empty. Where's the money? And money hides in different places in your business. And as you grow, it gets harder because you spend more and more on team members and the cost of having staff and then stock and items that you're going to sell. And then you go, I can't afford to pay for anything. Okay. I've run out.
Is there a point within a business, from a cash flow point of view or a business cycle point of view, where it actually isn't of benefit to the business to hire more staff?
Staff need to be profitable, need to be making money. And that probably leads into a good point, Jackie, that sometimes people don't know the profitability of their staff.
So just because I'm really busy, if I get more staff, that doesn't necessarily mean that I make more profit? Is that what you're saying?
I've seen business owners hire staff members and the profit goes backwards.
Why does that happen?
Because their business is not ready to take them on, or not measuring their performance, or not actually knowing how much they're invoicing or what they're actually doing. For example, I've seen business owners, they were plumbers, and their average chargeability for the employees on a 40-hour week was less than 20 hours.
On a 40-hour week?
On a 40-hour week.
Unless they're sending their team out the door at least three or four times what it's costing them to have them on the ground, once to cover the bits of hours that they're not working, plus to cover the profit of the business, plus to cover everything else, then they won't be making any money on those guys.
Pretty much.
Right. But there's also things which have to be done with team members. I mean, the warehouse still has to be looked after, the admin still has to be done. How do you balance that in the great scheme of things?
You try and eliminate as much as you can. Keep the overheads really tight without being stupid. Obviously, you don't want to be stupid about it, but at the same time, you don't necessarily want to be fat and lazy. So if you can make the team members as independent as possible, there's lots of technology out there to help with that sort of thing now. There's a lot of businesses not utilising it. So being as positive about keeping the overheads down and the chargeability up.
And is that a case of streamlining businesses and getting in automated systems?
That's a big part of it.
And how often are we reviewing this? I mean, obviously things are changing all the time. Is it something we should be looking at every week, or is it a quarterly thing? Or
I think staff chargeability and profitability at least every week.
Every week?
Every week.
Okay, and what are we looking for?
We're looking for, if they're charging by the hour, how many hours did they charge? They don't have control over the hourly rate they charge out. That's up to the business owner. But how many hours they're doing and how many errors they're making, how much rework, all those sorts of things to know, yeah, they got 30 hours chargeable this week.
And that has a significant impact, obviously, on the cash flow of the business.
Massive.
So what are the main things people are looking for there? If they're talking about proactively managing their cash flow, so they're making the cash flow happen as opposed to perhaps watching in retrospect going, what happened to my cash flow? What are they looking for?
They are looking for the team members getting it right the first time. It's really important that if they do a job, they get the job done in the time allocated. They don't want to be taking longer than the time allocated. Hopefully they can get it done in less. They want to be making sure it's all charged for. They don't want rework. With your team members, they need to be trained. You've got to make sure they're up to speed and everything's done safely and everything's done according to code. They've got to make sure that's all in place, fundamentals. But at the same time, they don't want an employee working 40 hours a week and charging 5 hours. You know, that's just, it's not even covering costs. So
some questions need to be asked.
Absolutely. They've got to have their targets.
And once you've got the handle on what your employees are doing and they realise that we're all working together to make the business as profitable as possible, how does that flow on to things like stock management?
Well, that can be a great convenience factor to have stock on hand when you need it, which is awesome, which is what you want. But if you're overstocked, you've drained your cash flow. If you're understocked, you could be underutilising it and causing yourself problems as well. So
what's the biggest things that you need to be looking for there?
How quickly you turn your stock over is the biggest one. And there's some places that are turning their stock over 1,200 times a year. There's other places turning it two.
Two?
Yeah, I've seen two.
You'd want some to be hanging on to some pretty critical spares there to justify that.
I've gone into stock and distribution businesses or wholesalers that are turning their stock over twice.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would surely gobbling your cash.
Oh, look, they were virtually bankrupt. So that's a project in its own right. How do you get their stock level down so they can turn it over faster? Well, at the moment, that same business is doing a positive cash flow on it. So they actually get it, sell it, get the money for it before they pay their supply.
Wow, okay. So the book talks about key business drivers when you're looking at smarter business, obviously with stronger cash flow. If a business owner is feeling this is going to be a really overwhelming sort of, oh my goodness, there's so many things I need to do here. If they could just do one thing tomorrow to make a difference, what would it be?
Start to test and measure where they're at. So you can't move forward until you know where you're at. So if you've got employees that are charging and you're not measuring how many hours a day or how many hours a week or how many hours a month they're charging, measure it.
Okay. So get a handle on what the heck's going on first.
Absolutely.
And then work out what you need to do.
Yep.
And that is absolutely critical because no matter what stage of the business you're at, whether you do seem to be highly profitable or you're beginning to get a few wobbly wheels on, so take stock.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Yep. Thank you, Paul. You've been listening to Paul Roach. He's from Delta Business and Executive Coaching, and these guys are absolute experts in the area of making sure that you're working smart, making sure you've got a really strong cash flow, so you're in an excellent position to stabilise and then scale your business.
You've been listening to District 32 Business Experts that educate and inspire. District 32 Business Radio, Business Experts, throughout the hour on District 32, the Hour of Connection.